All right, so we've had, I guess, a pretty eventful, what's it been, about 6 weeks since we talked, right? Five
Yeah.
weeks, somewhere in that ballpark.
Five to
Johnny's up and running now.
Good,
And
Johnny.
he's been having pretty good success, and he's building his network, and had a couple of accounts that we've had him working on from that I've known, and he's done a great job. Really, really proud of him so far at this point. So, so I thought maybe we might, and I've got some questions for you. And Rob, I may need to go to you offline. I've got some management questions. It's not pertaining to Johnny, of course, but just in general, I've got some management questions I need some specific advice on.
Yep.
So whatever you want me to do, if you want to do it during this call and we take Johnny off the call or whatever you want to do.
Why don't we cover a couple of things and then we can go offline. Did you have something else? Any other questions?
No, sir.
All right, let me
No,
just
not at this point.
I was kind of re I was back starting a new team, and we were looking at the folders and what's in the folders. And it just sort of reminded me of the tricks of the trade that we got out of the folders. And I thought, I need to just remind everybody about the value of each page in the folders, not each one, but two in particular.
You talking about ours or the client's folders?
Yours.
Okay.
We have a couple of two pages in there that are really important that seem not that important. One of them is the enthusiastically endorsed page. And that is all the enthusiastically endorsed. When you ask the clients, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, your attorney, your such and such? This gives you a network then of professionals in your community that you can rely on. So, just a reminder of that and how important that is, especially for some when you guys are putting this together. You can have, and you need to have a number of different CPAs and attorneys and other things. You can't just have one. Okay, so that's that, and I can go into all kinds of reasons for it and how it works, and there are beautiful ideas. But it brings me to my second page, which is the introductions given and received. Introductions given and received is critical to keep track of introductions that you've received, thank the people for them initially, but then use that as an opportunity to demonstrate gratitude on a longer term basis. Now, there's a lot of things that people like when they hear it, but gratitude is one of the most important things that you can demonstrate in order to make people think you are worthy. Okay? So, I mean, if you look at people and you admire them, many of the ones that you admire the most have gratitude. And those that don't show gratitude, you tend to turn off to. And the term narcissist comes into play when people aren't grateful to others. Donald Trump's a perfect example. As much as I liked his policies, his personal interpersonal skills were terrible. And he never gave credit to other people for the successes that they had as a team, and you knew they were others that should have been given credit, but he took all the credit. And so it makes you think he's a narcissist. Well, on the other hand, people that are they get up and they receive some award and they recognize everybody else that contributed to that award, and you think this is a good human being, right? So how do you demonstrate that gratefulness over time? You put down on your Outlook calendar the anniversary. Now, it's nice to remember the birthdays of your clients, right? And you send them a note, send them a card, send them something, send them flowers, do something nice. But remembering the anniversary of when they opened the account with you is personal between you two. And it's a bond of trust. And to recognize that bond of trust is important. So you call the person on the anniversary of when they opened their relationship, and you thank them for the trust they've given you. And they're very grateful for that. They'll admire you for doing it. They will think you're a wonderful human being, and it won't cost you anything. Now, the more important call is to the person that referred you to them. Okay. And what you do then is on that referral sheet is you put down the date that they're introduced to you and then the date they open up the relationship. In some cases, you've been introduced but never opened up the relationship. And by keeping track of it, it'll remind you to call them again and see if they at this, because people, it isn't a question of whether they want to transfer to you. It's a question of, are they ready? Right? Because if they're a good person and you should have the relationship, it's not a question of whether you'll get it. It's a question of when you'll get it. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy, but people retire and think life changes, and you are the best person to have that account. They just don't know that all the time. And so you just maintain that connection so that when they are ready, they move it to you. And they will appreciate the fact that you keep up. Even though for one reason it was a fraternity brother or something, they can't do it right now. When they do open up the account, you call the client, but then you call the person that referred you and you tell them, thank you very much. This is the anniversary of when your buddy Warren Knapp opened up his account. And I wanted to just call you today and thank you for the introduction. And tell you confidentially precludes me from saying too much, but I will tell you the relationship is great and he is exactly the kind of client that I'm looking for. So thank you again. So what triggers in his mind? What do you think? What's going on in his brain now?
Well, it definitely reaffirms that he sent you the right referral. I mean, of course, but he knows that you appreciate it, and he knows that he made a difference to you. I mean, and I think that's what we all want to do, is we want to try to make a difference in people's lives.
Right. And when we make people happy, they tend to want to repeat the behavior, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So guess what? That means that he needs to give you another referral, right? So what you're going to hear from that conversation is, you know, Johnny, I've got another guy for you.
Yeah, as opposed to, I wonder whatever happened to that other referral I sent to you, you know, or
right.
You know, sometimes they just don't revisit it. Yeah.
And sometimes we completely forget where they come from.
Mm-hmm. And now I think it also shows the detail. I think it shows that attention to detail that if you documented when they got referred and then contacted them for the account opening, like anniversary, then they're like, wow, if he's doing that for me and I'm not even a client, what's he doing for that person? And so that's kind of that wow factor that's like, wow, I can't believe he went out of his way to do this.
Right. And maybe he is a client, you know, or maybe he will become a client, right? Because yep. Most of the centers of influence that give you a number of referrals will eventually become a client if they're not right away. So I think it's, you know, people ask me all the time, how do I get introductions? How do I get introductions? Well, this is one of the ways you can do it without asking. You know, if we didn't have to ask and we could just get introductions, whatever that behavior was, we'd repeat it a lot, right? This is the behavior that you need to initiate and repeat it a lot. Now, you can go back, Derek, and put in the dates of when you opened all these relationships and see if there was somebody that referred you and initiate this right now as a great monthly, you know, this can be your project for this month. Mm-hmm. And I suggest that it's a value. And here's the good news. I would say 98% of the people I introduce this idea to never use it. Why? Because it's a really good idea but it takes a little extra work, and they're not willing to do the little extra work.
That's a great call to make, though.
Yeah.
Great call.
And you know what? If you don't want to call on the date that it was opened, you put it in your agenda, right, for the month. At least you can make it part of your 1242. And that may be an easier way to do it on the date that it was opened. So you just have to go through and make sure you see them all and put them on your agendas.
I was just trying to. Yeah, that's one of the things that we don't have listed on our profile sheet. Okay.
So, Johnny, this could be a great project for you. You can help Derek do this, follow up on him, make sure it happens, and a great way for you to start. Because you can do this for the rest of your career, and you can have 10, 15 calls during a month that you need to make thanking people. And just think how effective that would be. Right? I mean, just be amazing. And you could do them just as part of your 1242s. I'd love to see you do it on the day, you know, on the date of the account was opened. But I know you guys are busy. At least do it in the month.
That's a great idea. Great idea. That's something that I'm going to share with all the advisors too. Because that's something easy they can do. You know,
and people are always asking me, you know, how do you get more referrals? And I teach them VIPSA from Bill Cates, and that's just forget it. It's too complicated. They don't bother, right? So they never ask. So this is a way of asking without asking.
Yeah, I like that. That's something we can do. That's not a hard one.
No, but it's one of those that nobody does. It's just.
No, I get it.
It's just a little attention to detail that you don't bother with. Mm-hmm. So I suggest you put it as part of your agenda items, and you can code it or do something so the client doesn't exactly know what that means. If you want to print it as part of your agenda, just, you know, you could just put gratefulness or something like that. Being grateful or something about, and that would kind of trigger your reminder of looking on that sheet in his folder to see if, or just, I think just put it on the Outlook calendar, and then you just keep track of your Outlook calendar and just look through the month ahead of time and see who's coming up, and then just put those on to your monthly calls for that person, put them under those agendas. You might have four of those in the month. So you'd look at them and say, okay, I'm going to put those on those people's agenda. So when I call them, well, and I think that would be fine. I think if you called me and said, hey, this is the month that you introduced, here's the exact date you introduced me, and this is the date that, you know, Warren Knapp opened his account. I just wanted to thank you again for that introduction. It means an awful lot to myself and our team. We don't forget these things. And he'd be like, wow, that's amazing. I had a guy that actually called me every year on the anniversary of when I hired him. A guy named John Burkhauser. He was one of the very first hires I ever made. And at the Merchandise Mart in Chicago, he called me on, no matter where I was. And I was, you know, I was in Indianapolis and all over the place. He'd call me, track me down. Hey, I just wanted to call you and thank you again. It's, you know, my career is going great. He'd bring me up to date on his career. And then he called me and said, you know what? I'm retiring. And I just wanted to thank you because you made this possible. Isn't that amazing?
That's a great call. Yeah.
And how expensive was that for him? Cost them nothing.
Cost nothing, and it's very little effort on your end. There's no stress. It's just literally it's a gratitude call.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, you know, when people have illnesses, and there's a lot of mental illness going around, and they're one of the things that you'll notice with most of them is they're suffering from lack of gratefulness. They're really hurting because they're so self-indulgent that they can't think of anything but themselves. And if they could be grateful and giving, it would help them in their mental struggles. I always tell people that if they're really in feeling depressed, go volunteer at the hospital.
You ever heard that too? there's an old, and I don't know where he got it from, but it was an old Tony Robbins thing, and he had that, his whole start your day with write down three things that you're grateful for. And if you can't think of three things, what could you be grateful for if you thought about it long enough? You know, and it was the whole idea of gratefulness. Start your day with gratefulness. And I used to write those things down on a, you know, basically a post-it note and stick it on my mirror and things. And at some point I just, you know, stopped doing it. It was a great exercise. You know, I tell my son to do that and he's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, no, that's
it is a great reminder.
I bring that up because, you know, you know, I think boys are more difficult, and I think that that's one of the things that we could practice with them is this idea of gratefulness. And I mean, that's why prayer and Christian religion is so healthy for us. Even if we don't believe in it, the act of it, it's meditation.
Sure.
It's thankful. It's joy. It's, you know, it's all those things that we need for mental health that we don't get. And we're, you know, people are running away from religion these days and we're running into nothing. You know, they're running into their own mental illness. And it's pretty sad. Anyway, so just think about that, what that would do for you and for those clients. Every day when you made that call, it would remind you to be grateful. And for you, it would be so healthy. And for them, it would be such a joy to hear.
I was also thinking about just the idea, you know, as we're networking and talking to people, just sharing with people from time to time what we're grateful for, you know, whatever relationship we've had in the past with them, you know, like, I mean, I've got people who have, you know, gave me a chance, even in another setting, you know, another opportunity, whether it was charitable or whether it was helping my family or something like that. So, because right now I was thinking, Johnny, might not have a lot of accounts, obviously, to do that with, but as you're talking with these people that you know and you've known for a little while, it might not hurt to share something that, you know, you're grateful for what they did for you in the past, whether it was a, you know, family member or a past career or something, you know, and you probably do that already because I know you and I know your family, but so.
That's actually something I've been kind of introducing the call with is, especially for some of these like former mentors, it's you had a lot of impact in my life and I want to see what I can do to help you out at this point. And so it's a soft approach. But I mean, basically everybody I've talked to has pivoted into, well, let's take a look at my retirement stuff because I got some questions about it. And so I've ended up picking up some clients that way. And I've got a couple more that are in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Right. It's just that belief that they really do want to do business with you and that you really can help them. You've got to believe in that. And you're also protecting them from those. There are people that aren't good people. They may not be evil, but they're not good. And you need to be out there protecting them. You can almost think of yourself as the sheriff,
right,
for your town, protecting the population from the Bernie Madoffs of the world who look and act and seem just like you. And they're dangerous.
So I will say, one of the other guys, one of the new guys in our office, he just told me this morning about he had a supernova moment this morning. So he told me that the conversation he had with a client, and he said, "This is what I'm going to do for you." And the guy ended up opening up a $500,000 account, followed by probably another $250,000 here pretty soon. But his response was, "Nobody's ever done that for me." So that just reminded me of the little things. And this will really interest you, Rob, is that the other advisor in competition with him was at Merrill Lynch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they. The truth is that just because you think, you know, people do weird things, right? Just because it works doesn't mean you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And just because you know it doesn't mean you'll do it.
I'm 100% guilty of that myself. So,
yeah, I mean,
that's right.
It's just, you know, we don't tend to repeat the, you know, something worked terrifically. And then you ask the person later, "Why aren't you still doing it?" And they go, I don't know. It wasn't a ritual. You know, your three grateful things were a ritual for a while until they weren't. And so what you have to do is say, you know what? I'm going to get back in. And the key in rituals is not the fact that you got off the horse. The fact is, how long would it take you to get back on the horse? That's the key in life, is you set a series of rituals that are good for you. And you're always in battle with the bad rituals. Life is just a battle. It's always a battle. So you've got, my choice this morning was, do I get up and bike? Or do I lay in bed and get caught up on the Wall Street Journal? Right. Well, you know, and I battled this morning. I really, because I didn't have my riding partner. He's not showing up, right? He's away.
Oh.
So it's just me against me. And I won, right? I got up.
Good for you. Mm-hmm.
But no reason other than I knew it was a good ritual beating out a bad ritual. Not a terrible. I mean, having a cup of coffee, sitting and laying in bed and reading the Wall Street Journal would be kind of fun. But I know in the end, I can still get all the information that I need from the Wall Street Journal, and I'll get my ride in, and I'll be healthier, right? My heart will be thanking me. My brain will be thanking me. And when you get to be this age, having done that for, say, you know, 70 years or 65 years, my heart is good and my brain is still good because I was always good about doing these things. People say, "When did you start working out?" I said, "When I was about 6. And I never stopped because as a kid, you love to run, right?
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's about the battle, and it's always the battle. So, you know, let the good guy win.
That's right.
All right. Why don't we spend 10 minutes on your issues, and if we need to, we can do another call. So, Johnny, see you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Johnny. Hey, okay. Well, I appreciate that. So these were just more, I just need a strategy for dealing with some things. We've got teams forming, you know, in our office. And so as I'm trying to figure out, you know, they want to move and things like that, but they have overlapping sales support. You know, sales assistance support. So I'm trying to figure out how to do something that's fair and equitable for everybody in the office. And somebody's going to feel slighted, you know, along the way. And anyway, so I found myself just kind of taking the, you know, status quo is pretty good, and you guys don't really realize how good you've got it right this second. And if you start to move, if you want to push too hard on moving everybody around, then somebody's going to lose that you probably don't want to lose right this second. And so I'm just trying to figure out a strategy to deal with that. Is it getting them all in a room and saying, look, these are y'all's businesses. This is what we've got as far as coverage. These are I never liked it when people started talking about ratios and things like that to me. So I don't necessarily want to get in that, but I'm sort of stuck, and I am looking at the ratios, and I can see how much somebody is advantaged over another person, you know, in the office. Maybe it's because somebody's grown faster than the other, and which is the case. Got somebody that's older with somebody who is, you know, their only assistant, which they would have 10 years ago, they would have had their own sales assistant. They wouldn't have had to share that person with anybody else. Well, 10 years later, their business has just stayed static, you know, for the last 10 years. And now everybody else has grown much faster than you. And so they're clamoring for resources. So I'm just sort of,
all right. So one thing to really
stuck,
do,
I don't know,
is to treat it like you're managing a stock portfolio. Okay. So you got your growth stocks and your income stocks. And your growth stocks should have a higher PE than your income stocks. So somebody that's been flat for 10 years is a utility. They still serve a function, but you use the revenues from them to fund your growth stocks. Because if your portfolio is going to appreciate, you need growth stocks. So you give overweight to your growers and you underweight your statics. The other thing to do is to make sure you're lining up your best CAs with your best FAs. So you make a list of your sales assistants in order of skill and make sure they're matched up with the guys that are growing the fastest.
Gosh, just so interesting. I just did that yesterday. I went through and did a hierarchy of like our CSAs. And who I would rank as far as performance wise, and that's one of the issues. Is our best CSA is assigned to the FA whose business is very level, you know, very static. So
you want to change that, even though it's going to freak everybody out. Now I didn't do it overtly. I do it when somebody'd leave, or it was a general thing where I knew who I wanted with whom, and when I finally could get them together, it raised the productivity dramatically. But you need to move in that direction. Do it this time or do it in the future, but that's the direction you need to go. I can't tell you when is the time to do it. This may be too disruptive to do it now, but you've got to make it clear that the firm, if you were a stockholder of your office, this is what you would demand from you as the leader, as the CEO. You would demand growth, and you demand that you make good judgment with your resources. And you're not always going to make everybody happy. What you want is for them to respect you. People spend a lot of time trying to make people happy.
Well, I think I spend a lot of time doing that. I think that's one of my weaknesses, definitely.
Yeah, it was one of my weaknesses. And what you have to realize is that you're not going to make them all happy. And so that you need to gain their respect by making good judgments. And the judgment is, look, there's a reality of where we are a growth company. You need to be a growth stock in that company. You're not. You're a utility now. You could be a growth stock, and when you are,
they are utilities.
Yeah.
You're right.
Right. And when you're a growth stock again, I'll give you the support you deserve. But until then, I got to use. I love you, and I care about your revenues. So I don't want you to leave, but it's not fair. What's going on now? but we're doing the same amount of business. Well, yeah, but his is growing at 30% or 20%. Yours is flat in losing clients. So I've got to give him more support.
Yeah. Do you have time for one more question?
Sure.
Because this is something I'm feeling awkward about, because I've talked to people who have departed the firm, but I've just done it sort of on a normal course of business. Okay, so it hasn't been like I have been super proactive, and we don't lose. This is a huge check that's being delivered, Rob. All right, hold on just a second. I'm still with you. But UPS has delivered a very large check for one of my clients, for one of my FAs. Bear with me. Hey buddy, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right, you too. Sorry, I'm on a first name basis with my UPS guy. He's my...
Sure. Important.
Yeah, this is a big. God, it's a big check apparently in that UPS. So I've got an FA that is, and I'm just going to have to address it. He's a drag on me, personally, you know, but it's not the same one that I've talked to you about before.
Right.
You know, that one is he's a whole different animal that I've learned to kind of deal with. But this one, is a guy who doesn't want to grow his business, threatens to leave all the time. You know, has threatened for the last, I don't even know how many years to leave, but so he's been pushing to get the staff back in, which we're trying to do. We're having a little bit of an issue, but we are getting him back slowly. But he's been pushing it, but he essentially blamed him losing a client on his CSA, you know, saying that she wasn't available. Well, he's hardly ever here. He's rarely in the office. So I'm going to reach out to the client, and I need to tactfully. So I'm just talking through this with you because you're a disinterested party. But I'm going to call the client. I want to find out exactly why he left, because he's just thrown that out there, and I feel like it's completely unfair, and it's just trying to cover up his own. But he's saying this to other people is the
right
problem, you know, and it becomes an issue, you know. So. Anyway, I didn't know if you'd gone through that experience before of having to do that. I'm uncomfortable with it
I used to call clients all the time. We were required to.
You were? Okay.
Sure. Absolutely. I was required to talk to lots of clients. Anytime there was excessive activity or just a regular routine client that gave us a lot of business, I would call them. I'd visit them in person with the FA. Very interesting.
I bet it was. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I know a lot of the clients, and I talk to them on a
social.
I wouldn't say a fairly regular basis, but in a social setting. Yeah, definitely. But this one's a little awkward because I don't know the guy, but I do know the situation, how they acquired him, and it was they were very. Anyway, the opportunity arose. They got the client. So. When I looked at the account activity, what I saw is things would come due, you know, securities would come due, and the cash was never reinvested. And that's been going on for the last 18 months. So you're looking at a $3 million account that went from, you know, 2 years ago having maybe $150,000 maybe in cash to having, you know, close to $1.3 million just in cash.
Oh, that's really
over the last.
Yeah, years. We've had a bull market, the greatest bull market in the history of man.
Yeah, and no ideas and all that.
Just think about it. If a client leaves, don't you think someone should call that client and find out why they left? Every single
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Every single time. So what's the big deal?
Yeah. Well, I felt awkward about this one.
The client would be disappointed if you didn't call.
Okay. That's what I want to hear.
Right? I moved from BMW to Mercedes, three cars, right? And it was, and no one ever called. I was very disappointed in BMW. I was disappointed in their service. I was disappointed in everything about them. I love their cars. I wouldn't have moved except for the service. I moved and no one ever called. But the Mercedes people were throwing a party. And the reason that they get extra bonuses if they move a BMW client to a Mercedes client.
Because of the loyalty, right?
Yeah, well, just because they're in such fierce competition with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I think you can, I mean, to me, you know, and you can just say, here's our new policy. I'm going to call every client that leaves. That'll make people think about moving as well as, I mean, if you call them, think about it, right? I used to, if somebody left, I would call the clients as a manager, not just have the FAs call them. I'd call them.
Yeah,
changes the game a little bit.
It will change the game, and I think if everybody knows that that's what would happen if they lost a client, it would probably be a little different too.
So. Yeah. And you can just say, you know, if it's over $1 million, I'm going to call.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Everything you've done today has been right on target for me. I needed to have all those. So I'm grateful. I mean, I'm grateful.
One of the things that you want to do is you want to retain me, okay, as your coach on a monthly basis forever. And I'm not saying that because I need the business. I'm just saying that because you're in a unique position. You don't get a lot of support, okay? In some of these calls, you don't want to make to your boss. So
right.
I'm the district director that you can call and ask advice of that's never going to reflect on you.
I appreciate that. No, I appreciate that. I do. I value you so much, Rob. I mean, I can't even tell you. You've been a game changer in my life. So.
Well, that's great, Derek. It's great to hear. That's why I do this. Reality. Okay. All right. All right.
Thanks
Good
for
luck.
Everything.
If
I'll
you
talk
need
to you
anything,
next month.
If you need something like in between and you're like, help, call. Or
okay.
Text me and I'll call you back. Okay?
Okay. I will. Thank you, Rob.
Bye, Derek. See you.
Bye-bye.